Hello, everybody. Welcome to Project Seek, an apostolic podcast with apostolic content. Today I'm here with, I would say, a minister, anointed man of God. He's the youth secretary of North Carolina. Welcome, Brother Chance.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a high honor and privilege to be on the podcast. It's just a joy to be living for God in the last days. And this is the best day to be an apostolic Pentecostal.
Absolutely.
And this is high time for the church. And we are positioned for the greatest harvest we've ever seen. And I'm thankful for that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Man.
So what is it that you do to maintain your walk with God?
To maintain my walk with God, it all starts with a devotion in your prayer life, your personal study of the Word. You know, as a minister, we don't study to preach; we study to know God.
That's right.
And out of that comes our messages. And you know, when you walk, just having a walk with God, daily reading. Daily prayer, talking with God. And I think an important aspect that sometimes is missed is while, yes, it's important to talk with God, it's also important that we're quiet so He can speak to us.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, through that, and God will put things in your heart and put things in your spirit, and you'll be having a conversation with a man at work, and the Lord will tell you something to tell him. The Lord will quicken those things. Quicken the word of God in your life, but He can't quicken it to you if you don't know it.
That's
so
right.
We must, you know, have a daily walk with the Lord. I'm reminded of Joshua and the walls of Jericho. You know, they walked a whole lot more than they shouted. The walls did not fall because of a one-time shout. They fell because of a daily walk.
That's right.
And you will have unprecedented victory if you will just daily walk with God.
That's good. That's good. So how did you know you were called to preach, and did you ever think you were going to be in youth ministry?
And, you know, the call of God, I've learned through listening to other podcasts, talking with other preachers, talking with my friends, is that the call of God is so unique, and it really shapes and forms the minister that they are. You know, I personally can't tell you of one time where I was in an altar where God said, "You're going to preach the gospel." I've always felt like this is preaching the gospel is what God has called me to do. I can't tell you an exact moment, but I feel like the anointing of God, almost like Jeremiah, before, you know, I when you were formed, you know, I ordained you to be a prophet while you were in your mother's belly. That's not an accurate quote, but you get the gist. You know, that's kind of, you know, not saying that I'm Jeremiah, but that's kind of how that's worked for me. I've always known that I've always felt like the call of God was on my life. And, you know, the call of God is more than just the call to preach. It could be the call to do a podcast, the call to be a Bible study teacher, the call to, anything and everything that God wants you to do. God is always calling. It's up to the individual to listen and to accept the call of God. So don't think that just because you're not preaching behind a pulpit that you're not called of God. You can find your place in the body of Christ and that God has called you to do and make a difference. It's not the issue. You know, I heard someone say a long time ago, the issue is not is God speaking. The issue is if we're listening.
That's right.
And it's important to listen to God, to be open to what He wants us to do. So I can't really tell you that there's one exact moment at a camp, convention, a rally where God specifically called me. But I've always known, even since a little kid, that that God has wanted me to preach. And if I ever thought I was going to be in youth ministry, absolutely not. It just comes just being open to whatever God wants to do. And when God opens a door and you have the approval of your pastor, you need to walk through that door. And that's kind of what's happened. And I'm thankful for what God is doing, not just in my life, but in the lives of the young people of North Carolina. And I'm grateful to be a small part of the kingdom of God and what He's doing in North Carolina.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And you talked about before, it takes a willingness. A
Absolutely.
willingness to be used.
Sure.
So how do you balance your work, family, and ministry all together?
Well, you know, I'm the North Carolina Youth Secretary, as you mentioned. Also a husband to Courtney, who's my wife. We've been married for 7 years. And I am dad to Ethan, who just turned 11 on Wednesday the 8th, and Wyatt turned 3 in July. So it's pretty crazy at our house, right? But the key to balance is being intentional. You know, you're not going to wake up tomorrow morning and say, well, praise God, I'm balanced. It's something that you continually have to work at. You have to set aside time for you can be dad. There's no greater responsibility for a father than to be a dad. You know, I told my wife that when we became youth secretary, I said, well, we adopted 1,000 kids. We just adopted 1,000 kids. They're ours now. We love them like they're our own. And I told her, I said, I don't want to get so overwhelmed with the 1,000 kids that we adopted that I forget about the 2 that are in my own home. So it takes intentionality. That's a word. It is now. So like for an example, Ethan's birthday was this past Wednesday. Well, Wednesday we have church, so we couldn't really do like a big deal for him. So we're going to be intentional. And Saturday is a day all about him. You have to be intentional. Same thing in a marriage. You know, if you don't take time out for your spouse, your marriage is going to struggle. You know, and I think we think that that means glamorous vacations and, you know, cruises and all this stuff. But it can be literally just as simple as dropping the, we've done this before. We've dropped the kids off, gone through a drive-through, and sat in the parking lot and ate. And that was date night. Or, you know, we've gotten food and we brought it back home and we just had a chance to talk. And you have to put a high priority on your marriage, your family, your work, your ministry. You know, you don't turn being a minister off. You're a minister 24/7.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, if everyone thinks you're great and you're a great preacher and all this stuff, but you know, you fail as a husband and a father, you're really not that great. So it takes a high priority and intentionality of being balanced. And you know, sometimes that means prioritizing your family over ministry. You know, those opportunities will come, but I'll never have an opportunity to be a husband again or to be a dad to those boys. I'm the only dad they have. I'm the only husband that my wife Courtney is going to have. I don't want to mess that up.
Right.
So I want to put a high priority on them, and I also want to instill into my children an attitude of gratitude and say, hey, we're blessed to be able to do ministry. This is a blessing. This is not a drudgery. This is a blessing. So most of the time, if I travel out, my wife and my kids are with me. That's probably, as of right now, that's 100% of the time. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful to have a family that is not just behind me in the ministry, but they're beside me and they're working alongside of me. And I'm thankful for that. But as far as balance, it's something you have to work at. It's not going to be perfected overnight. The key is recognizing when something is out of balance and making the work to put it back into order, put it back in balance.
That's good. So what do you like to do for fun?
Oh, what do I like to do for fun? I like to play golf. I don't play nearly as much as I would like to, but I like to play. Golf has taught me that just because you like something does not mean that you're good at it. I am not good at it, but I like to have fun. I like to fellowship with my friends. You know, for the longest time, we all grew up playing basketball together, and I still like to play basketball. But, you know, with work and a family and not enough time for ball, right? So all of my friends kind of gradually went to golf, and I was the last one.
Okay.
So I kind of started playing just because I needed some friends. You know, if I was going to have friends and they were going to play golf, then I guess I was going to have to start playing golf. So I like to do that. I like spending time with my family, my kids. I'm really close with my brothers-in-law and sisters-in-law. We're fun. You know, we like having fun and Most of the on some Sundays, not every Sunday, we kind of started a tradition during COVID. Our church was only doing one service on Sunday, so after Sunday we would all go to my wife's parents' house. We would eat lunch and we would have a good time. I like spending time with my family. I like playing golf. I like playing ball. I like grilling out. It's fun. It's just, anything that just kind of gets you to break away. That's what I like doing. So. But I'll be honest with you, I don't do it nearly as enough as I should, but I do like to get out and have some fun every now and then.
I mean, that's kind of a way of balance as well.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, if you don't, the key with balance and having fun and recreation time is to keep you from burning out. Because if all that you do is one thing all the time, you're going to get tired and you're going to get, burn out, and you're not going to be as effective, and you're really going to hinder your ministry if you don't have balance and a time to say, okay, I need to step away from this. I need to go recharge, recover, and rest, and come back at it. And that's kind of what I like doing. I certainly don't do it as enough as I should, but that's part of it, So, but I'm trying to. I've tried getting Ethan into playing golf. He's played with me a couple of times, but he'd rather play basketball, football, and stuff like that. He likes to get dirty. He's a boy, so, but it's cool.
So, what was a moment that forever changed your walk with God?
Well, one moment. I'll tell you a defining moment. So as a young preacher, I started preaching at 14 and a half.
Oh, wow.
So I'm 31 now. And I'll be honest with you, the first couple of times that I preached, it was terrible. What it was not good at all. I was real nervous, stage fright, so to speak. I just couldn't be myself. When you're the only one in front of 400 or 500 people, in front of your peers, first time I spoke was in the youth group, and you're standing in front of 35, 40 young people. That's pretty nerve-wracking.
Oh, yeah.
You say one thing wrong, you're going to be toast, so that was pretty nerve-wracking. And then I went to youth camp, and the year was 2006. Joel Urshan was the preacher that year, and I was 14 and a half. I think I'd preached maybe twice. They were both not good at all, but I really felt like there was a he and I've had a chance to talk to him about this. He didn't know it, but there was really a sort of a God connection between his spirit and my spirit. And how he was preaching and how he was delivering the word, it clicked in me. Like, that's how I feel when I preach. That's how I feel, And obviously, that's not something that's manufactured. That's God-manufactured. That's the anointing of the Holy Ghost.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember those series of services, those Tuesday night for Friday night, they were really impactful for me. And as a young man, didn't really know it, but what God was really doing. Years later, I now know. But I remember growing up. After that camp, we bought all those night service CDs. We listened to them all the time, and it was really kind of where I fell in love with preaching. And as a young person, I go to the Temple of Pentecost. I was surrounded by great preaching all the time with Bishop Huntley and Pastor Ballesteros. They're the best of the best. But I think maybe because I had heard them so often, I probably took them for granted and didn't realize what I had sitting at my home church. But out of that youth camp, I really began to fall in love with it, with preaching and sharing the gospel. And that kind of shaped me for who I It made me who I am today. Another defining moment is probably when I was 15. It was in le the next time that I preached after those first two times. It was not good. Those first two times were not good. But this third time, I really remember somebody else was supposed to preach, and for whatever reason, they didn't do it. So they asked me to do it, and I did it. I felt like I had something from the Lord, and I just remember God. It was almost like His seal of approval upon my ministry. I honestly tell you, like, I blacked out. I don't remember My parents have the DVD. I mean, I've seen it, right? But as far as in those moments, there were things said that were I didn't intend on saying. It was really, I encountered the anointing, the anointing of God, the way that God wanted me to feel it and express it. And I remember, and it was our church does something called Heroes and Trainings, where basically it's the kids take over the service, they do the offering, they do the announcements, they do the welcoming, they're the ushers, they're the singers. Then they would have a teenager come preach. And I remember I was that young person, and I remember an adult that night got the Holy Ghost.
Oh wow, that's
And I
incredible.
remember that. And I just I just those are probably some those two events, that youth camp and then that one time preaching where God just really, it was like an out-of-body experience where I was like, okay, this is it. This is what God wants me to do. I kind of felt like, what was really on the inside of me was finally able to get out,
Yeah.
and it was because the anointing of God. So I would say those two events probably really, really defined me and my walk with God or my ministry walk with God, I would say the youth camp really solidified what God was doing in my life. And then maybe that moment to preach when I was 15 in that Heroes in Training service was probably like, here it is, So I would say those two definitely had a big moment, a moment of time in my life for sure.
So, what advice could you give to someone who's aspiring to ministry?
My advice would be to serve. Just fall in love with your local church. If there's no job too small, cut the grass, clean the bathrooms, wipe windows down, vacuum the sanctuary, vacuum the hallways, pick up trash. I can't tell you how many years I cut the grass around the church. I cut the two ditches, the islands. I did basically the whole trim. And it would take a couple of hours, but it wasn't just me doing it. It was all of the young ministers. And the man that was over the lawn at our church was Arthur Carter. And the deal was, man, if you wanted to be a ministry, you needed to get with Brother Carter and cut some grass. There's in ministry, it's all about serving, right? Like even Jesus washed feet.
Right.
The great I am, God manifest in the flesh, got on his knees and washed feet. There's no job. You never graduate from serving.
Right.
You never graduate from serving. And I think another thing to that too would be to be available, be open. Whatever pastor needs me to do, big or small, I'll do it. If he needs me to go visit somebody, I'll do it. If he needs me to clean the bathroom, I'll do it. I think the key, the key is just being open, willing to say yes to whatever God wants you to do. I remember hearing a story. I think it was missionary Brad Thompson. I don't remember what country he was a missionary in, but he got to basically, he was an aimer. They didn't call it aim back in the day, but now we would call it aim. So he went and thought that, I'll teach in the Bible school, I'll preach, I'll do Bible studies. And the lead missionary there handed him a shovel and said, your job tonight, and it was a big, I think it was their big conference. He said, your job tonight is to clean the bathrooms. And they were in like, a third world country. And he was like, here I am going to, I'm going to teach in the Bible school. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And he's handed a shovel and he had to clean the bathrooms. So I think for, everybody wants to be a servant until you're treated like one,
That's true.
until they say, hey, you got to take out all the trash tonight. Then we're like, oh, I shouldn't be doing that. Well, no, you never graduate from serving. It's an honor and a privilege to fall in love, to serve in God's kingdom in any capacity. But I would say wherever you are, you need to fall in love with your local church, fall in love with your pastor, submit to the man of God. This is more than just one thing. But just, if you do it out of a love for it, it's not a drudgery.
That's
I
right.
do it because I love the house of God. I do it because I love the people of God. I love the kingdom of God. So I would just say developing a love for the kingdom of God is probably the greatest thing you can do in having a heart to serve.
Yeah, like you said, you never graduate, or you never are elevated to a position that you don't have to serve.
That's right. Yeah.
It's always been about serving.
Yeah. Exactly. If the great I am had to get on his knees and wash feet, there's nothing that anybody less than him, which is everybody.
Right.
You know, everybody's less than Jesus Christ. Everybody should be willing to serve. And you know, that's what ministry is all about. Ministry is not about me.
That's right.
Ministry is about men. Ministry is about other people. How can I serve others? That's ministry. You know, a lot of people want the glitz, and all they see is the glitz, the glamour, the person behind the pulpit, the person singing, but they don't see what it really took for them to get there.
Yeah,
And that's a whole lot of serving.
that's right.
Serving will get you a whole lot of places that your quote unquote connections will not get you.
That's right.
So, you know, just serve God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and God will take you places that you cannot even imagine.
So what would you say is the biggest challenge of this generation, and what can we do to overcome?
I'll break it down. The greatest in my generation would be competing with a brother that's also trying to do something for God. You know, God did not call us to compete. He called us to collaborate. We're a team. We're not against each other. We're on the same team trying to advance the kingdom of God. So that's my gen that that's the greatest challenge for my generation. This generation now, I would say the greatest what did you call it, hindrance, would be distractions. You know, your phone, your iPad, your video games, you know, whatever. It's all a distraction from the main thing that what God wants to do with you. I'm reminded of when, you know, Jesus went into the temple and he flipped tables, he was beating people with whips, he was throwing chairs around, he went nuts. And it was not because of that the temple was full of demons and devils,
Right.
but it was full of distractions. They were the buying and selling in the temple. And Jesus said, "No, this house is full of distractions. My house shall be called a house of prayer. My house shall be called a place of relationship, not distractions." And I'm reminded of, you know, there was a man in the synagogue who was, the Bible says he had a spirit of an unclean devil, and the Lord delivered him. And right there in the temple, didn't kick him out. The Lord delivered him. But when it came to distractions, the Lord kicked him out. So I would say we're too distracted, not necessarily by bad things, but by good things that are not God things. And we want to be after the God thing in our life.
That's right.
So I would say the main thing, right, for this generation is distracted. They have easy access to the distractions and the things of this world. But we've got to humble ourselves. We've got to get our walk with God. That's the highest priority. And everything outside of that is a distraction. So I would say we have to, the key for the church, for this generation to being all that God wants them to be, is to lay aside the distractions. You know, I believe it was Paul who said, lay aside every weight and the sin. Sin, weights are separate from sin. If we're going to run the race with patience, you know, you can't run with, you know, 20 pounds on your back. You need to get rid of some weight. You need to get rid of some distractions.
Right.
And then you can run the race that God wants you to run. So I would say distractions probably the number one hindrance that I see in this generation, being distracted.
Thank you, Brother Chance, for coming.
Thank you for having me. Before we close out, why don't we just pray that God will bless the listeners, that God will bless those that are listening today, that God would help them, that God would strengthen them, that God would anoint them to do what God has called them to do. Lord, we love you.
Lord, thank you, God, for
We
this
thank you, Lord,
nation.
for the
Thank you, Lord,
opportunity
God,
to be on this
for this
podcast. I pray, God, that you would
nation. I
touch each
pray,
and
Lord,
every
for this
listener,
nation.
that your hand
Thank
would
you,
be
God.
upon them, God,
I
that
pray,
you would anoint
Lord,
them with fresh oil,
I pray,
that you
God,
would
for this
touch them, God, that
nation.
your hand would be upon
For
them.
them, Lord God,
God,
for
I
this
come against
nation,
every
Lord God,
hindrance and every distraction
Job,
that would try to
Job,
stop them from being
Job,
all that they can be for you.
Jesus,
I pray for a
Christ,
fresh touch of the
Jesus,
Spirit.
thank
Be
you,
with
thank
them,
you,
Lord.
God.
In
Thank you,
this
God,
moment
for this
for, God, I
nation,
pray that they would serve you with their
Jesus. Thank
whole
you, Lord,
mind,
for this
body, soul, and spirit.
nation, God.
We love you
Thank you,
today,
Lord,
Lord, and we thank you
Jesus.
for your
Thank
goodness
you,
and your
Lord, God.
mercy.
We thank you for
Believe you,
this
Lord, for
nation.
great and mighty things
Thank
in
you,
these
Lord,
last
for
days.
this
Your word
nation.
says that you're going to pour out your spirit upon all flesh, Lord. It's been prophesied. We just want to be a part of it. We want to be a small part of it, God. I thank you, Lord, for this podcast and what you're doing through it, and the work that you're doing. Bless this podcast and all those that are working hard before it today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, sir. I love it. This is a high honor and a privilege. It was a cool experience. Thank you for having me. Thank you for thinking of me. And I'm excited about what God's going to do through this ministry.
Yes, absolutely.
Amen.
And for those listening today, thank you for joining us. And we see you all next time.